Good morning, Calvary Church. Thank you for tuning in on this wonderful Mother's Day morning. I trust that you're having a wonderful weekend, and I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all our mothers and even the ones that are visiting that are not part of Calvary Church. We are so happy you selected us to spend this morning with. It is going to be an awesome morning. It already has been. We've had great worship, powerful presentation. We're just so glad that you are joining us today. Hey, I just wanted to go over a couple quick announcements with you because we have a phenomenal speaker for you this morning geared towards our ladies and specifically our mothers. But I just wanted to go through a couple quick announcements. If you would just do me a favor and just hit the like button on the Calvary Church Facebook page. We appreciate that greatly. That gives us the opportunity to send information out to you throughout the week so you know exactly what's going on here at Calvary Church. Now, we appreciate you hitting the like button on the videos. That helps us as well. But on the page itself, just go to the front homepage of the Calvary Church Facebook page and find a little like there and click that little like. We'll keep track of everything for you and get information out to you. The second way that you can stay connected to our church is just text the words Calvary 4 Canton. That's Calvary number 4 Canton to the short number of 24251. Just put 24251 up on your text field for the number, and in the message field, put Calvary number 4 Canton and hit the send button, and you will be added to the Calvary Church text alert system. So everything we talk about throughout the week, we can send a text. We've done that a number of times this past week, and so we get information in your hands really quick. One last thing I wanted to chat with you about this morning is I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Our Calvary Church family continues to be faithful to this house by your continued blessing us with your tithes and your offerings. I hear all the messages of churches struggling, but I would tell you this, that our people have been faithful. You continue to send in your tithes and offerings, right, whether it's like, what, U.S. mail? But many of you have picked up on the online giving by going to the church website of calvarylife.church and hitting the online giving on the top menu bar, and you are setting up accounts. We appreciate that. Now, one of the really exciting things here today is that I can see the distance a little bit, that we're going to be back in church here at Calvary in our beautiful new worship center in the weeks to come. We're trusting God to continue to do what God's doing, and we're going to be blessed to be right back here in this house, hopefully sometime in June. Just stay tuned and keep alert as to what we're doing here at this church so you can see exactly when we're going to be back in-house. Well, without further ado, I want to give as much time as I can to your special speaker today, my wife, Nicole. Pastor's going to come and give you a powerful message today. And here's what I would like you to do. As my wife comes and blesses you with the word, do me a favor. Let's give her a Mother's Day welcome and a Mother's Day gift by going to the comments section of your Facebook page as you watch right now and put something special in there directed towards her specifically to bless her today, because, yes, she does this once a year and she's nervous and she needs the Calvary Church ladies and the Calvary Church family to send her a message of encouragement. Let's welcome my wife, Pastor Nicole. Oh,
thank you, dear. Well, good morning again. And I'm going to move this out of the way quick if I can. Well, good morning. And as he said, I do this once a year. So, yes, it does freak me out a little bit. But I just am excited to kind of dovetail off of where he finished last week, which was the comeback series. And I thought, as we are anticipating coming back from the season that we're in right now, that it would really be important for us to maybe make the most of this season while we're still here. Yes, we're hearing things about hopefully coming out of some quarantine in the next few weeks, but in the meantime, while we're still here, I thought it would be encouraging to talk about how we can make the most of this time, and that's the title of my message, Making the Most of the Season That You're In. So the first scripture I want to share with you, because I want you to know that God's word talks about seasons. It's not just a natural thing of nature, but it's a thing of our lives. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." Now, if you live in Ohio, right now you might be wondering, what season are we in? The calendar says it is spring, but it snowed here last night, and we actually woke up to some snow on the ground this morning. So it is still cold out. Many of us are stuck inside because of the quarantine. If you work outside the home, you may have to don PPE and protective equipment and gloves and masks to actually go to work. That is pretty stressful. And for those of you in the healthcare profession or truck drivers, grocery store workers, whatever it would be that are on the front lines, you're enduring a lot right now, a very stressful season of your life. For those of you that are home with young children, you have become the teacher's assistant, the recess monitor, the lunch lady, the mediator of the fights between your children, homework helper. It's a lot that you're going through in this season. And for those of you that maybe live alone and aren't able to fellowship with family and friends right now, you are feeling lonely and isolated. And if you've lost your job through this COVID situation, you are probably filled with fear and anxiety, maybe about how am I going to make ends meet for my family? Where am I going to get the money to make it out of this season? And if you happen to have any kind of health situation or you're high risk, considered high risk for COVID, you might be feeling the anxiety of, do I dare go out for fear I catch this virus? So the enemy might be also chirping in your ear, as he has done, I know, to me, that this is really bad, it's only going to get worse, and it's never going to end. So when I tell you that I want to encourage you to accept the season that you're in, that probably sounds a little crazy. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Philippians, had learned a secret about accepting the season that we're in. And I want to read for you out of Philippians 4, 11 through 13. "For I have learned to be content whatever my circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or living in want, and I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." I love that scripture. It is a lot to grasp. And I want to share with you that being content doesn't mean that you never want change in your life. We all have things that we wish were different. We all have things that are unfair. We all have injustices. We all have things that could be better. But we can still have joy and be content while we were in that season and while God is working on our behalf in those circumstances. So it really comes down to one thing. Do you trust Him with all of it or not? Do you trust Him with the good and the bad, with the joyful and the painful? As the song we sang says, do you trust Him in the times of weeping and in the times of rejoicing, or just when you're rejoicing? Because He is worthy to be trusted. As we sang, He is for you at all times. He is worthy to be trusted. Genesis 8:22, says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. You know, I much prefer summer to winter, and I really love harvest because it means we get to reap the reward of the work we did during seed time. And I'm not a big fan of the dark, so I much prefer the day to the night. But you know what? The reality is we don't get one without the other. There would be no empty tomb to celebrate without the cross. So I hope you can gain a perspective, a proper perspective in this season, that we can accept both the good and the bad. As Job 2:10 says, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? So I want to challenge you today to accept the season that you're in. The second thing I want to challenge you to do during this time and any other season is to learn. I love this quote, and I tried really hard to find out who said it, but I couldn't. But it says, life is a school to the wise and an enemy to the fool. Let me read that again. Life is school, we're learning, to the wise man, but an enemy to the fool. Ask yourself, what is God trying to teach me in this season that I'm in? What can you learn about his character during this time? You know, if you are a follower of Christ, we never stop learning. There is always something more about God's character that he wants to show you, that he wants to show me. So I want to paraphrase a story for you that's in Matthew 14:22-30. It will not be on the screen because it's really long, but I want to paraphrase this story for you. So Jesus had been speaking to a crowd, as he often did, on a hillside by a lake, and when he dismissed the crowd after a day of speaking with them, he sent his disciples who were with him in a boat to go across the lake. And as he dismissed them into the boat across the lake, he went up onto a mountainside to pray. And by the time he had finished praying, it was late in the evening and it was dark. And he finished and he looked out over the lake and he saw the disciples in the boat quite a distance away now. And the scripture says that the boat was being tossed by the waves because the wind was against it. And Jesus, seeing them out there, did something amazing. He walked on the water. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were in a boat in the dark, in the middle of a lake, and I saw some figure walking toward me, I would be as terrified as the disciples were, and they, of course, thought it was a ghost. And Jesus immediately, in his kindness, says to them, take courage. It's I, your friend, Jesus. Don't be afraid. And I love what Peter does. He's one of the beloved disciples. He says, Lord, if it's truly you, call me to come to you. So Jesus says, come. And for a few moments, or maybe seconds, I don't know, while Peter was focused on Jesus, he took a few steps, and he also walked on the water. But then, in his humanness, as we often do, he took his eyes off Jesus, started focusing on the circumstances around him, the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And here's a quote for you that I really think sums up that story. Oftentimes, the season where we experience trouble are when we receive the greatest revelation, not only about who God is, but about our deep need for him. You know, the water and the wind were chaotic, but Jesus was in complete control and held the waves under his feet. And when Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he also had control over the wind and waves. For those few brief seconds where he kept his eyes fixedly firmed on his Savior, he walked on the water. God is sovereign over all things. And there is another story in the scripture, very similar, lots of stories about boats and water and the waves. And Jesus again was preaching to a crowd, only this time when he was done, he got in the boat with the disciples and they headed out on the lake. And he had been preaching for many hours, so he was very tired. So he headed to the back of the boat on a cushion and fell asleep. And as he was sleeping, a squall or a storm came upon them as they were in the boat, so much so that the waves were actually going over the boat. And of course, they were terrified again, and they ran to the back of the boat to wake up Jesus and said, "Don't you care? We're about to drown." And he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves and said to them, "Peace, be still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And then he also kind of rebuked the disciples because they had been around Jesus for a while now. And he said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And as they looked at each other, still a little terrified, they said, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" There is so much to be learned in our seasons. When we're in a drought, we can learn that he is the water that will never run dry. When we're fearful about COVID or our jobs or our health or our family, he is our peace. When we're overcome by loss or sadness, Jesus alone is the ultimate comforter. When we're on shaky ground, maybe in our family or our marriage or our job, he is our sure foundation. And when we are in a season of constraint where we feel our hands are tied, he is our freedom. There is so much to be learned, and I would challenge you, even while we're still in this quarantine situation, to ask your Heavenly Father, "God, what can I learn about your character? Reveal to me my deep need for you during this time." Now, ladies, this next one, I'm going to be honest, is quite a challenge for us, and I will confess, quite a challenge for me. Men, you may struggle with this too, but ladies, we struggle with this more than anyone. Girls, there are times when we just need to be quiet. We need to guard. My husband's going, "Yes, hallelujah." We need to guard ourselves against complaining. We need to discipline our mouth. There's an old saying that if you don't have anything good or positive to say, then say nothing. And there are several scriptures that kind of back up how important it is what we say, what we speak, what comes out of our mouths. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Show hospitality to one another without complaining." And Philippians 2:14 says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." Why would we want to give the enemy something to work with that comes out of our mouths rather than giving God something to work with over our lives? You know, sometimes we just really need to reevaluate our perspective. And I am not usually a complainer. My husband will probably be shaking his head, "Yes, you are," but usually I'm not. I'm usually a glass half full kind of girl. I almost always try to see the positive. But I will be honest, this quarantine thing has been getting to me as of late, and I have been known to complain about the things that are really starting to get on my nerves. I think the biggest one is I am so tired of trying to come up with 7 new meals every single week to cook for my family. That one's just really getting me down. I just want a night of going to a restaurant. So I'm really tired of cooking all the time. Really tired of not being able to hug my parents. I've seen them through the car window at a drive-in or at Dairy Queen where we frequent, but I just want to hug my mom and dad but my mom's high risk, so I'm being cautious. I'm tired of not being able to hug my friends and family. I'm tired of not being with you in person on Sundays. And I am really tired of my gray hairs. So there you go. Those are the things I'm really tired of during this quarantine. But you know, sometimes it's just a matter of what's your perspective. And I want to share with you this image that will be on the screen about how we can turn our perspective a little bit and realize we still have so, so much to be grateful for. It says, I'm grateful for early wake-ups, and I am not a morning person, but I'm grateful for early wake-ups because it means I have children to love. I'm grateful for a house to clean because it means I have a safe place to live. I'm grateful for laundry because it means I have clothes to wear. Dirty dishes means I have had food to eat. And the list goes on and on. Toilets to clean. I have a really hard time being thankful for cleaning a toilet, but it means I do not have to go to an outhouse outside in the cold to use the bathroom. So it's just really a matter of perspective. And I want to encourage you to continue to speak God's words of life over the season and the circumstance that you are in. Find your confidence in the promises of God that are in His Word, that are specific to whatever it is you are facing right now. And then just watch God respond, just like He did when He told the wind, "Peace, be still." Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it." Ladies, our words have power. And if you are in a season where you just can't muster up anything positive, then meditate on God's word and be silent and listen to what He wants to speak to you and over you. Next, I want to challenge you to be desperate for God, to put some action behind your waiting and the season of waiting. And here is a quote for you. I think this is my very favorite one I found. If we would act like we were desperate for God, then maybe we wouldn't be so desperate in our circumstances all the time. Let me read that again. If we would be more desperate for God, then maybe when we're in a circumstance, we wouldn't act so desperate and out of control because God would be reigning in our lives. I've discovered that waiting on Him is an active pursuit of His will and His ways and His plan. And it's really an active pursuit of Him. God wants you to run after Him with all of your heart. Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him." Turn your season of waiting into an active pursuit of the heart of God. He wants to tell you what He wants for your life, but you've got to run after Him. You've got to seek Him. You've got to know Him. You've got to love Him. You've got to share your life with Him, the highs and the lows. And in my life, when I've turned a passive attitude of waiting into an active pursuit of His word, I have found so much more joy, and I have learned so much more about who God is than I would have otherwise. And usually, those are the low seasons, not the high seasons. During those times, I have found my God to be a faithful father, a true friend, closer than a brother, and wise counsel. I've learned how to focus more on Him than those things that I'm praying for, asking for, and waiting for. And peace replaces my restlessness, and contentment then moves in like a flood and replaces my anxiety. And ladies, I know, especially for you moms, how important it is to be responsible for a family. And I love this quote because it says to love him first and foremost is to love others best. To love him first is to love others best. You want to love your husband more, your family more, your children more, your coworkers more, your friends more. Love God first because he is love and he will show you how to love others, including those difficult people in your lives. So next, I want to challenge you to be expectant and to live with expectation. And for those of you in the Calvary family that have worshiped with us in this building or maybe heard a sermon of my dear husband's online, you know one of his favorite things he loves to say is atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for a miracle. So God is asking you to do the God-given assignment that he's given you right now in this season with an expectant heart of what's to come. What do we do when we wait for God to answer a prayer? We do the assignment he's given us now. Has he placed you in a corporate office? Serve him well. Serve your employer well. Be a witness to those that you work with. If you stay at home with little ones and take care of them every day, keep doing that awesome work. If you are a mom, there is no greater job you will ever have than shepherding your children. If you serve in ministry or in church or on the mission field, give your all. Give your very best to the kingdom work that you are doing. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 sums it up really, really well. And it says, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever assignment God has given you right now, I encourage you to be all in for God and for his plan. Expect him to do great things in you and through you and to show you more of himself, to make you stronger and more like him. And you know, maybe the season that you are in right now isn't really much about you at all, but God is allowing you to go through this because he's going to use that for you to help someone else who's either in that season now or is going to be in the season that you are in. And you're going to be a wise, godly counsel because you've been there. And you're going to be able to have empathy for what your brother or sister in Christ is going through because you've been there. There may be an assignment God has for you today that he is asking you to complete before he gives you the desire of your heart or answers the prayer or the hope that you're praying for. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. And let's be honest, ladies, we get tired. There's a lot on our plates as moms, as wives, as daughters, as friends, as coworkers. But let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. And Isaiah 60:22 says, when the time is right, the Lord will make it happen. Now, you might be asking yourself, what does proper time mean? And I heard Joyce Meyer preach on this not that long ago. She said, the proper time is when God is ready and when God knows you are ready. And sometimes there are other people involved and God has to make sure they are ready, but only he knows. And we know that his timing is best and his timing is perfect. As the musicians are coming back to the platform, I want to share with you something that really touched my heart. As I was preparing for this message, I keep a journal, several journals. Some years I do better than others, but I was going back through a journal from almost 3 years ago now, July 25th of 2017, and I like to read and journal all sorts of different things, my thoughts, obviously my prayer requests, praise reports, things that God is revealing to me as I'm praying, things I've listened to. I sometimes will write down a worship song that has really spoken to me in my journal, but this particular journal entry was on July 25th of 2017, and our daughter Alyssa was wanting to get ready to start her master's program, and she knew that she wanted to get through it as quickly as possible. She was going to do it online, but she needed a job so that she could pay for how expensive the master's program is. But she wanted something kind of unique, and this is very hard to find in her field, but she wanted part-time. So we began praying, Lord, give her a part-time job, give her this much money so that she can pay for the schooling, and God, let it not be a really far drive. So on July 25th, I wrote in my journal, please provide a good job for Alyssa. And I listed out all the things that we were asking, the part-time, the hours, the money, the drive, because I knew those were things that were important to her. Not even 1 week later, she gets a call for the perfect job, Sterling Jewelers. And she has been there for the past 2.5 years. Part-time, great money, 20-minute drive from home. And God answered that prayer. And as we were praying, we were expecting God to move. And then we praised and rejoiced when he answered almost to the letter what we prayed for. And then there was another entry on the very same day, July 25th, 2017. And this entry had been in my journal several times before. But this one said, please, God, I continue to ask for you to send a godly wife for Zach, our oldest. He had been sharing with me as he'd dated a few girls on and off that he really was feeling as he was, you know, getting older, 25 or so I think he was at the time, that he was ready to settle down. And he had dated several girls that he just knew were not the one. So again, I put in my journal entry, please God, I've been praying for this girl I don't even know, but please send her his way. Again, not even 1 week later, on August 1st, 2017, Zach had his very first date with a lovely girl named Savannah. And for those of you who know her, she's now our daughter-in-law because they were married just this past November. Another prayer that I prayed, that one for a little bit longer, but with an expectant heart that God was going to answer. But I will tell you, there are many, many prayer requests still in my journal. Some that have been there for years now that I'm still praying over. And I'm trying really hard to expect, despite what I see, despite the human circumstance, I'm keeping my eyes focused on my Savior so that I don't sink in what I see going on that doesn't look like it's getting any closer to answering my prayer. But I'm praying with an expectant heart that just like in those other seasons and those other situations where God moved and answered, that he's going to answer these two. It just isn't his time yet. But when his time, when the proper time comes, I believe he's going to answer these other requests that are in my journal too. And maybe that's for you today. Maybe you've been praying for something a long, long time, and maybe you're in a really dry season and you're about to give up. I want to encourage you, don't give up, because God still is in the business of answering prayers. But we have to expect for our miracle. We have to keep our eyes focused and trust that he is working behind the scenes no matter what our circumstance might look like. And I just want to pray over you as we close today that you will take every opportunity to learn and grow and seek God whatever season you are in, because God wants to bless you now and prepare you for the next season. And he wants you to wait on him with expectation of what that next season looks like. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the seasons of life, God. No, they're not all pleasant. But God, we have learned from your word that you still speak to us. You still do miracles, God. You still reveal yourself to us in new and fresh ways through every season, summer, winter, highs and lows, good and bad, weeping and rejoicing. You are the constant through every season. And God, I want to pray a special prayer for the moms today. Lord, we have so much as mothers on our plates. God, give them a special dose of strength and patience and peace that passes all understanding. God, renew in them a clean heart. Show them, God, how important the season is that you have them in today, whatever it may be, God. And that you're going to bless them in this season and you're going to bless them in the next one that you're already preparing for them. But God, we need to trust you and love you first so we can love those around us best. And we thank you, Father, for our moms. We thank you for blessing us with mothers. What a precious gift, God. And we thank you, God, that in every season, you never leave our side. You are right beside us, for us, all the way, 110%. We thank you, Jesus, for this time, and it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. I want to wish all of the moms a happy Mother's Day. We love you so much. And as we finish with our closing song, feel free to worship with us, but please join us again Wednesday night. We love you, and happy Mother's Day.